Well, folks, quite a busy day we've had on the show here. Tony Orlando on at the start of the show, and then Wilma Dirksen from Winnipeg. Quite a tough story to hear her have her 13-year-old abducted and murdered. And, of course, how do you process that as far as the God stuff and the forgiveness and everything that goes along with that? Moving along in our show, running out of time. Boy, the time is just flying by. And joining us now over from British Columbia is a gentleman that we've had on the show before, Mr. Winston Blackmore. Winston has been involved with the community over there in Bountiful, and of course in the news, people have been talking about the polygamist stuff again, because the leader of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, otherwise known as the FLDS, Warren Jeffs, has been taken off the FBI's 10 most wanted list after his recent arrest. And of course, he's now accused of being an accomplice to rape and arranging marriages between underage girls and older men, as well as having sex with a minor, conspiracy to have sex with a minor. I mean, the list goes on. Fraud. Now, Winston Blackmore is the former bishop of Bountiful, British Columbia. And anyway, we just thought we'd catch up with Winston again to find out how he's doing and what's going on over there in Bountiful now that this other news has sort of broke. So appreciate you coming back on the show again, Winston.
Very good.
Well, I guess as I've said to you on the phone before, you've been inundated with press again. The media's been down your collar one more time.
Hardly been able to get my farming done.
Yeah, I remember calling you one day. You're right in the middle of haying.
Well, we're just finishing now.
Tell me about the farm you have over there. You got a bit of everything, do you? Or?
No, basically we just do hay, 1,000 acres, 2 cuts. So
that'll keep you busy.
It does.
Yeah. And the last time we spoke, you were on your cell phone driving down to somewhere down the States. Was it back down to Utah, was it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And what was that trip all about?
Oh, I was just going to take some of my family down and attend a carnival that was down happening at the time, and we did, and we enjoyed ourselves.
Good. How often do you get down to Utah?
Well, a couple times a year.
Right. Right.
And I enjoy it.
Good. Good. Well, look, I've been doing a bit of reading and trying to figure out, what the heck am I going to ask this guy again? Because, we had a great chat last time. Warren Jeffs, the name comes to your mind. What do you think? What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Well, they've, as you said in your preamble here, they did catch him, and he has to go to trial. I mean, he hasn't been convicted of anything yet, really. But, at the end of the day, he has certainly departed from the fundamentals of our faith. That's my opinion.
What's been the reaction of his arrest within your group over there in Bountiful?
There's many of us that stepped back from him and his administration when he actually took our church over. I haven't really, really compared notes with a lot of different people, but I know that. Looking at the news as well as anyone else, I think that he's extradited back to Utah, and he will face whatever charges they have for him there.
Right.
But our, it's been business as usual for us.
Just carry on.
Oh, yes.
But do you think most of the people in Bountiful would have, they probably don't even know what's going on, do they?
Well, there's the people who are still involved with his church are a group of people who, because of his direction, they don't, they don't look at the news, they don't look at, they don't even circulate in the community anymore, but they aren't allowed to be on the internet, and they aren't allowed to even have any conversations like we're having.
Right.
Just between two people regarding him. So a lot of them are in quite a denial that anything has even happened. They don't even seem to be aware of the family dismantling that he is, been very much a part of over the past 4 years.
I think if I understand my story right here, Winston, that in 2002, something happened between you and Jeffs.
Well, actually, it happened somewhat sooner than that. In fact, it's interesting enough. I mean, he was promoting the end of the world theory all the time. And on 9/11... he summoned me to the only semi-trial that I was privileged to be a part of, and it was after the the trade
The World Trade Center.
Very day.
Right.
So that very day, and I think that in his mind, you know, the end of the world was happening. But
and so he summoned you to where?
He summoned me to come south to a trial, and he tried to dispose of me at that trial, but his father wouldn't have anything to do with it. He told him, no, you know, go and behave yourself. So from that time on, I mean, he was, you know, I knew that he was determined to, you know, to be done with me. And you know what, I didn't really even, at that point, it wasn't really a concern to me, because by now he had introduced that we were only supposed to listen to his teachings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he'd sent these tapes and these DVDs, and to me that was quite a challenge, because so much of that stuff didn't make any sense to any of us. So, you know, at that point in time, you know, from 2000 on, I would say, it was really no fun, you know, trying to follow the pace that he was setting, the pace of change that he was setting. And that pace, by the way, was not improving our society. It was, you know, it was making it go backwards.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was banning. No, I'm only going off stuff that I've read, and that's why I've got you on the show, is to clarify, you know, fact from fiction, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So according to stuff I've come across, he was banning books, newspapers, television, radio, DVDs, and yet he's producing his own DVDs, so I don't understand how that works.
Well, he wanted the people, you know, to just listen to what he had to say. You know, he was talking about the, you know, the destruction of the world and the destruction of the wicked, and placing dates and times on that until so many of them passed by that, you know, there was a certain amount of people who were confused about that. But more than anything else, Drew, the thing I think that was so convincing to many of us, and I'm talking a lot of different people besides myself.
Yeah.
You know, the mainstream media likes to say that, you know, I have led a bunch of people away from that, you know, from that church. But that's totally not true, because the fundamentals of my faith are just as important to me as they've always been. I'm third generation, and my children are fourth generation. And as strange as our society looks to someone who's looking from the outside in, I mean, it's our life, it's our society, and it was, you know, a good place to grow up and a very good lifestyle to be born into, I think.
Right.
And many have that same opinion, and so.
But in 2002, Winston, were you removed as Bishop of Bountiful by Jeff's and replaced with Debbie Palmer's brother, Jim?
Oh yes, I mean, he did that. He made a public, you know, you know, he declared that to the congregation down in the States, and yet, you know.
But didn't that cause a big split up in Bountiful?
No, well, many people stepped back from him over that, but they were quite stepped back already.
Right, so they kind of gravitated towards you, and then the other ones polarized towards him, so there's this big rift, is there not?
Well, I don't know that we would call it that, because it's not gravitating towards me. Like, I'm just one of a bunch of people who stepped back, too, you know.
But you were asked to step back.
Yeah, I was asked to step back, but at that time, everyone was plenty aware. I mean, I was mouthing off long and loud throughout our church.
I find that hard to believe, Winston.
I was mouthing off to anybody that would listen. And right. You know, here's the thing that was really that really cemented the fact for me that I didn't want to belong to that or participate with him in what he was doing.
Right.
Like, he basically took everyone who had any influence, and there was a lot of people. I mean, you can just imagine a society with thousands of people.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he took all those people that had any influence with anyone, and he disposed of them by dismantling their families. I mean, he would take...
I actually heard that he ordered family photo albums to be destroyed. Is that a real thing?
Well, yeah, that is a real deal. I mean, it's very true. They had to gather up all their family photos, and you know, seeing the outcome right now... Is not a surprise, because their families are so scrambled.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, maybe I could explain. I'll explain a couple of real scenarios, and you can times that by hundreds.
Hundreds. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Okay. So, I mean, I have this guy who's he just had one wife, and he had four little children that he loved dearly, and he was a guy who was maybe in his mid-30s, maybe close to being 40 years old, and because he was kind of a computer fellow, he was a computer genius, because he was involved in that kind of thing still, he wasn't involved in anything that you could possibly consider was wicked.
Yeah.
But on Friday night when he came home, there was no one at his home. His wife was gone, his furniture was gone, his children were gone, and he came home to an empty house.
Is this in Bountiful or down in the States?
In the States.
Okay, and he came home to an empty house. What had happened?
He came home to an empty house and his family was gone. And he, when he finally got a hold of the bishop.
Yeah. What did he say?
He just said, well, you're instructed to go repent from a distance. And he said, well, what am I... What am I repenting of? What's the charge against me? And he said, well, you know, you know what that is. You'll have to go and get close to the Lord and have him inspire you. Well, in 7 days, his wife was reassigned and married to one of his best friends.
Whoa.
And that created, obviously that created a huge, you know... It undermined their friendship, of course.
Oh, hello, yeah, sure.
And his children were instructed that now this is your new father.
Yeah.
Your names are now no longer what they were. They're
something else.
Last name is something else.
Yep.
And you can times that by 100.
And that's what's going down.
Yeah. And so.
Well, one of the things that I read that you were kind of bugged about was, like, this sounds to an outsider, this sounds sort of tedious, but maybe this is big to you. The fact that the SUV was red, because Jeff's and previous prophets had actually banned the colored red, and some said it was a color of the devil, but Jeff's told his followers that red was off limits because that's the color of the cloak Jesus will be wearing when he returns to earth following the apocalypse.
Well, I didn't say that.
Okay, so you don't care about that?
Well, I know. Just to explain it to you.
Yeah, yeah.
His father didn't like the color of red. I think he just didn't like the color of red.
Right.
And, you know, Warren basically has taken any of his father's likes or dislikes and taken them the second mile.
Yeah, gone a little further with it.
You know, but
well, what about what they were apparently... Now, again, this is why I got you on the show, to clarify this stuff I'm reading in the news.
Okay.
You were a bit bugged at the fact, or maybe his followers were bugged, maybe not you, but about the fact that he was wearing cargo shorts and a white short-sleeved cotton T-shirt, because the FLDS boys and men were never supposed to wear short-sleeved shirts or shorts. All members of the sect are supposed to have their bodies covered at all times wearing a temple garment, the religious underwear or whatever it is, that covers them from neck to wrist to ankle.
Mm-hmm. Well, that just, if they could have got a picture of him and if they could have published it, you know...
Then you'd believe it.
Well, so
but it could be just spin.
So that everybody could have looked at it, it would have done more than 49 articles.
Right.
Because, you know, his followers would never believe that. But, you know, for him to be dressed like that, he was kicking people out.
For wearing shorts?
For wearing short-sleeved shirts. They weren't wearing shorts.
Right.
You know, I mean, he would actually tell them to leave and to never come back and they would.
Warren Jeffs has absolutely controlled every part of their lives, including when they can have sex with their husbands, who they can marry, where they can work, if they can work, and if they lose their wife and kids today, and if you're a woman, who you're going to be married to next week.
That's right. I mean, he basically, anyone who will let him control that part of their life, but there are a lot of people who, you know, who never did ever let him get that kind of control over their life.
I was talking to the RCMP, and they say that there's still an investigation going on with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that, right? I mean,
and
I've read somewhere that you think you expect any time something to be coming down the pipe.
Well, you know, they've gone to great lengths to try to find something.
Well, yeah, they can't do anything because no one's going to speak up.
Well, no, I don't think that's really the issue. I mean, the biggest issue in Canada is we have our charter, the Constitution, which protects religious belief. And, you know, the only reason why that the polygamy law is illegal in Canada is it was made in 1892 against a group of people known as, guess what, the Mormons. And so...
So this is just persecution against Mormons.
Well, just by the charter, our charter strikes that as a law because it was a law made against a, you know, identifiable religious organization.
Do you think that the new law raising the age of sexual consent from 14 to 16 is maybe one of the reasons the heat's been turned up on you?
Actually, I totally endorse, and so do all of our anybody that has anything to do with me. We endorse that raising of that age.
Yeah, except that 14 and 15 year olds who want to have sex must do so with a partner who is less than 5 years older. So that's going to disqualify some people in your community.
Oh yeah, but it isn't near like that. You read it all about it in the newspaper. You know, before anybody can really even have more wives than one, there has to be somebody who's interested in marrying them, you know.
Yeah.
And
what I'm saying is if, like, you've told me before that you have had a wife who's 15 years old.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean anybody had sex with a wife that was 15 years old.
All right, so is that a sort of a sub bylaw? You can marry them, but you don't have sex with them until a certain age?
No, it isn't. And 15 and 11 months and whatever.
Yeah.
Is whatever it is. But, you know, you can go, and interestingly enough, I was listening to a talk show the other day back east there, too.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the age of consent in Utah and the age of consent in other places. And, you know, in Canada, any 16-year-old anywhere, all across Canada, can go with their parents' consent.
And get married.
And go get a marriage license and marry anybody, no matter how old they are.
Right.
And also in Canada, anybody that's 14 years old can go have sex with anybody that they want. Well, you know, the fundamentals of our faith and our life is certainly not about that.
But the criminal code section on sexual exploitation says that anyone in a position of power or trust who has sex with a person under 18 is guilty of an indictable offense that carries a maximum penalty of 5 years in jail.
That's right. If they abuse that, if they abuse their authority to do that.
But if you're an elder in the community, that's a, I don't know, that's. Seems like a pretty...
No, Drew, listen. The standard procedure for anybody to get married in our society...
Yeah.
You know, the standard protocol that was the one that was practiced for I don't know how long, is if a girl is interested in getting married, you know, and naturally in a society like ours where they don't, you know, it's not a permissive society, then if she's interested in getting married and she goes and she has her parents go with her, to their bishop or their church authority, and they go and say, "Hey, listen, you know, here's my, you know, this is what I would like to do."
Yeah.
Then, you know, the standard response for me, sitting there and having part of, you know, having taken part in hundreds over the 20 years of my ministry, and by the way, my ministry is still active.
Yeah.
So
you're still an elder there?
I'm still a minister. You know, I'm still. Certainly am.
Right.
And I minister for, you know, hundreds of people still.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but
so,
you've married several young girls in your life, right?
When I was a young man, I did.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you're getting up there now.
Yeah, I'm getting old as can be. My hair's turning gray, and I'm, you know. But you know what? I never did ever marry one single person of my own accord.
What, you were forced into it?
Well, I wasn't forced into it. It wasn't me that was driving the program.
Right.
Because in our society, that's not allowed. So it would have to be something that the woman and her parents were anxious that happened.
You married some sisters on the same day?
Yeah, I have. Yes, I have.
And then I think there's some deportation issues there, isn't there? Because they're here on a visitor's visa?
Yeah.
And they have 11 children between them.
Yeah. And they're as nice of people as you ever saw in your life.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're like fourth generation people of our faith, and it was, and they were over 20. So, yep. And they wanted to be a part of my life, and you know.
You got a blog now.
Actually, I had one, but I haven't looked at it for about 5 months or so.
Right. Okay. Well, in May 2006, in your newsletter there, I was just having a little read through and it's some interesting stuff there. You said if you were to assemble the fundamentalist Latter Day Saints, which is what you're a part of, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a fundamental believing LDS.
Yeah. So you're part of the FLDS, basically. Yeah. And try and tell them that swapping around women was an abomination in the sight of God. They would bellow like the running of bulls and seek to gore you at first opportunity. So I don't understand this swapping around women stuff.
Well, that's what Warren's doing. So what I was basically saying in my point, and by the way, I might as well make a pitch because I'm going to actually continue on with my website here just as quick as I get my
Yeah, sharethelight.ca?
Yeah, well, if I can use that same, like, I was not the administrator of that site.
Right.
So all I was a contributor.
Right.
And the guy that was an administrator, he's long-haul trucking, and so it's gone kind of stale.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, but we need to revive it because I hear more about how come you aren't, you know, keeping that alive than from reporters or talk show people, eh?
Right.
So, but the reality of the matter is that fundamental to our faith was a family structure, and it certainly did not include swapping around families from one person to another.
But you, if you're part of the FLDS, and
listen to this. One of the fundamentals of our faith was a deep family structure. And fundamentals from 1830 until, I think with us, until probably 2002. So myself, you know, and a whole bunch of other people, that was not and never really, you know, never a part of what our faith should be. And consequently, the reason why that we just stepped back from this guy. So my comment, my article comment was, is that you could go assemble all these people who are following Warren, and you could tell them that swapping around their families like this was not one of the fundamentals of our faith, and they would bellow like
bulls. They would go nuts, right?
Yeah, they would. Because well, the they feel church, like he's Christ.
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints put out a press release last week, I think, maybe, or maybe a little while ago, a couple of weeks ago, stating that there is no such thing as a fundamentalist Mormon or a Mormon sect. The mainstream church, which outlawed polygamy in 1890, said Mormon only applies to its members.
Oh, well, they can say anything that they want, and, you know, I have no quarrel with the LDS Church. In fact, up to 1890, the only difference between the LDS and the FLDS Church was the F.
Right.
And in 1890, the LDS Church, under their president, they issued a manifesto, which basically, you know, among their membership, it, President Woodruff said to the people, you know, quit organizing your families like that. But many historians have proven that it was basically a name only because many of the church authorities continued to participate in plural marriages and blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, who wants to quarrel with those guys? Because they've done a way better job with their family structures than, you know, I'm sorry to say, than our people who feel like that, you know, that we need to continue that kind of life and tenant in our faith.
What's the number one question the press asks you? How many wives do you have? How many kids do you have, right?
Yeah, they ask me that. And we've already been through that grind.
Yeah, you always kind of steer away from it and stuff. But there's so much stuff out there, you know, Winston, that says you got this many or you got that many. Like, isn't it better just to have it on record?
Oh, yeah, but still, at the end of the day, my family and I, we sat down and we decided this one part of our life that we're not going to talk about. And so if you think that if you made a deal with your wife and then on national TV or wherever else, then you just violated that deal, you probably wouldn't get any supper.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what that would happen at my place?
If you're not getting other stuff, that would worry me.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, trust is trust. And
no, I know.
We made that
kidding.
Agreement, and for better or for worse, we made that agreement, and I'm sticking to my
All right.
that deal.
All right. So now, when you say you sat down with your family, though,
yeah,
like, did you rent the hall?
Well, you know, I have lots of families that are grown up and their families, they have families of their own.
Do you ever talk about the youngest one you married? You keep going on about the 15 and 11 month old, 15 year and 11 month old.
Yeah.
That's the youngest one you've ever married?
I think so. You know, it's just...
You can't remember?
No, but that's the one that everybody reminds me of.
Right.
So,
what's the oldest you've married?
Well, I got married when I was 18.
Yeah, but what's the oldest woman you've married?
She was 23, I think.
Right. And how old were you?
Heck.
Like, I can't even remember. I can't even remember my anniversary, and I'm married to one woman.
Well, believe me, I have lots of people remind me of my anniversaries.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And I have people remind me of birthdays.
And yeah. And the second question, all the, and I think I asked you this too, but everyone, you know, as guys who are married in the monogamous relationship stuff, we go, man, there's got to be a jealousy factor. There has to be.
Oh, for me to say that there wasn't would be just plain lying.
Yeah, there has to be. Like, what are you doing with him over there? And why, like, how come you should be in my bed tonight and not her bed? And
oh, Drew. Drew, I mean, are we going to do national Enquirer stuff on your talk show?
No, but I think that's you know, when we break it down to the logistics of it all, I just think, you know, because I think everybody says, come on, you're marrying people too young. By having too many, like, more than just one wife, it's just unnatural. It really is. There's something wrong there.
Well, it might be unnatural for a society that has never, you know, was never born into that kind of society or culture.
And then, Winston, that brings up the young people who don't have a choice. And I think that's where people are getting bugged. They're like, I know that there are dollars to donuts. If you grow up in a community like that that's isolated and they have these sorts of rules and regulations, that there's young people who are basically, for lack of a better word, forced into a marriage when they don't want to be.
Oh, let me explain something to you and to your
listeners.
Your readers.
Yeah.
Because for 20... something years, I've dealt with all kinds of people. I've dealt with a guy who had two left feet, who was sitting over there on the corner, and because of our kind of society, nobody ever wanted to marry him. You know, and throughout the days of my administration, it wasn't so much that someone really didn't want to marry. Really had someone in mind or some place that they wanted to go, as it was that they definitely had people that they did not want to marry. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
And talking to my own girls who are teenagers nowadays, you know, I've got five or six girls who are growing up, and they're just basically telling me, you know, Father, we don't want to marry anybody we grew up with, eh? And so, but my children have, you know, really have that latitude to say that to me because I have been quite a free thinker over all the years, and that's what got me in trouble, I guess,
with the Jeff's crowd
for a long time, because people were getting a hold of me that basically said, you know, listen, I do not want to do this, I do not want to do that, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so basically I would say, fine, I'll help you not do that. And at the end of the day, here's the situation.
Yeah.
If you have a society that has, say, maybe 1,000 people, 800 people like the group that I was dealing with.
Yeah.
And you maybe have, you know, maybe you have two dozen young people who are not married. That doesn't necessarily mean that those girls that are there have one bit of interest in marrying any of those boys. Hmm. You know, I mean, they could look. They look at all those guys like, you know, we grew up. We went to grade 5 with him in grade 6,
sure, sure.
Grade 8, and grade 10,
And that sounds normal, and like, Winston, when you paint a picture, and I've admitted this to you before, when you paint a picture of what's going on in Bountiful, in the polygamous society that you live in, you paint a pretty nice picture. You're a good painter. Okay, but if it's so little house on the prairie, what are you being investigated for?
Oh, heck, we're being investigated because we have, I mean, I'm not responsible for all of the
community's goings on, right?
Goings on.
Right.
I mean,
you are being investigated.
But I am. But why wouldn't they investigate me?
They are investigating you.
Oh, yeah, I know. And they have done since 1990. I mean, there's been an ongoing investigation since 1990.
Right.
And all that has to happen to get an investigation is that somebody has to stand up on the street corner and tweet, polygamous, 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 you know. It makes good news. It makes a good story.
But what are you actually being investigated for? What are the crimes against, or the charges against you?
It's polygamy, you know, and polygamy in our country, as you well know, you already pointed out.
Yeah.
Is
it's illegal.
Against the law in our country.
So if it's cut and dried, why don't they just arrest you?
Well, I don't know. I'm certainly. I mean, every day they don't, that's fine with me.
Yeah. Are you going to be the next leader? Are you moving in?
I don't want to.
No, but if you get asked and the right people and they say this, that, and you're going to be the best, and they stroke your ego, I don't know, whatever they do, you know, we're guys, we're males, you know, we got egos.
Yeah,
they give you the rein. They say, well, if you do this, if you become the next leader, then we'll do this, this, and this, and this. Would you take it?
I sure don't want to.
Would you take it?
Because at the end of the day, Drew, at the end of the day, Warren helped me to, I mean, he did one thing real positive in my life. He helped me to find a life. And, you know, as
a life or a wife?
A life.
A life, okay.
He helped me to find a life.
Yeah.
And in that life, my life prior to him doing that was just, any guys, I mean, I've watched some of these sitcoms where people had company over the holiday weekend. Well, do you have any idea what it's like to have 200 guests at your place from 2 days before Christmas to 2 days after January the 1st?
That's just your wife and kids.
No. That's besides my
wives and kids. Sorry, yeah.
You know, and I mean, that's just the way that it was year after year after year. And it's not like that. We really had a problem with that, but. We had no life.
Am I going to read it in the news? Will I ever read it in the news that you are the next leader of the FLDS?
Oh, you know what? Honestly, I can tell you this and your audience with all, you know, the honesty in my heart is that I have absolutely no aspirations to do that.
No, well, yeah, but that means you're humble. But that doesn't mean you're not going to say no, though.
Oh, well, at the end of the day, I mean, who would want to do that? That's just like...
But will you say no?
I don't think that I'll ever have to say no, because at the end of the day, I mean, there's so many FLDS people who have been marshaled in there that I'm a bad guy. That I mean, I really don't care about that. And at the end of the day, they can just choose and have somebody that really wants to do the job, because it's not me. And at the end of the day, I mean, I'm having fun. You know, I've had a life for 4 years now. And one that I did not enjoy, you know, the same kind of a life I did not enjoy for years and years. I can go hunting, and I can be gone on a weekend, and I can do a whole bunch of things that I never could do before.
Look, the estimates are you have close to 20 wives and close to 100 children, something like that. And if those numbers are anywhere near true, because I know we don't want to talk about them, then you've got some pretty agreeing wives to let you go hunting all that time.
Well, I'm telling you something. What you're missing is you're trying to use the grid that you judge your society with by a grid that doesn't exist in our society. And so, you know, here in our society, I mean, you think, oh my goodness, a guy has 15 or 10 or 15 wives. I mean, how did you ever survive there? Well, how you survive is those people are not a liability in your life. And I'm not suggesting that they are in any other society.
Mm.
And we don't live in Toronto either. Not that Toronto is a bad place, but we live in a place where we can grow our corn patches 2 acres. You know, and
here we have grow ops 2 acres.
Yeah, but we can grow corn and donate it to the fall fair, and we can donate it to the public school corn roast, which is coming up here, and we can do a whole bunch of other things that you could never do there. And you know, living in a place where you can grow fruit and where you can do a whole bunch of things, the more people make it easier for you to live your lifestyle.
Yeah. So, but just before we go, we got to go because we've got to open up the phone lines here, folks. I'll just let you know the number is 905-338-1250. And now we're going to talk about if you had to choose between same-sex marriage and polygamy as far as the government taking a stand against, which one would it be? So we'll get your calls on that in just a couple of minutes. But before we let you go, Winston, and by the way, thanks again. I really enjoy chatting with you. You're a decent fella.
Well, you're sure welcome. And I just want to say one more thing.
Yeah.
When I was going through the customs, you know, the United States customs.
Yeah.
One of the customs officers pulled me over, and they recognize who I am and
sure.
whatnot. And there's five of these different.
Well, it's because you got 10 women and 100 kids behind you, you know.
Yeah. Well, my family comes and goes, and they do it honorably and decently, you know, back and forth across the border. And anyway, this customs officer he gets me aside, and he says, you know, all this polygamy stuff aside, he said, I got to ask you this one question. He says, how on earth do you ever survive all those mother-in-laws?
Yeah, don't even go there.
And so I said to him, well, I can thank Warren Jeffs for that, because he has basically, you know, the mother-in-laws are not even allowed to contact and talk to their girls.
Really?
Yeah, no, they aren't. And, you know, because we never stooped and bowed, you know, the girls can't even speak to their parents.
Right. Have you married underage girls? Yes. I mean, that's obvious, right?
Well, what's already out there is already out there. But, you know, I find myself in a situation where I don't have to marry anybody I don't want to now, and I really like that.
Yeah, okay. All right. Winston, it was good to chat with you again.
Well, you're certainly welcome. Good to chat with you.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll catch up again when something else hits the news.
Well, good enough.
Bye-bye. Winston Blackmore, polygamous leader of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saint over there in Bountiful, British Columbia. 905-338-1250. Folks, for the first time today, the phone lines are now open for your input. We've had an incredible show. Back-to-back interviews here. Tony Orlando and then Wilma Dirksen and Winston Blackmore. Phone lines now open. 905-338-1250. If you had to choose between same-sex marriage and polygamy as far as the government taking a stand against, which one would it be? Like when the suits come back to Ottawa, you know, they get back into school, one of the issues Prime Minister Stephen Harper promised to table is same-sex marriages. However, many are now pushing for plural marriages to be tabled as well, and to ban that, like it's illegal, but to actually enforce it. And there's others who are saying, no, let's not enforce it. Let's legalize it. Well, Winston would be one of those people. And then there's triple partner marriage. Like, what the heck? Where are we? What planet are we on here, folks? That's where you get a heterosexual couple and then a same-sex partner comes in and all three of them want to be legal guardians, legal parents. Which one of these ones make your blood boil the most? Same-sex marriage, polygamy, or triple partner marriage? 905-338-1250. We'll take your calls when we come back from our break right after this. Stay with us.
Want to find out who's on the Drew Marshall Show next week? Sign up for our weekly email updates online at drewmarshall.ca.